happy Father's Day to all of our dads here today. We're glad that you're here, and we'll be recognizing you at the end of our morning worship service today. But we are truly thankful for fathers who love the Lord, who are following after the Lord, and so we want to encourage them today as we gather around His Word. In our call to worship, I'm in Psalm 119 again, and I wanted to read to you two verses of Scripture. It says in verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Verse 6, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." I had a conversation yesterday as we were getting soaked in the afternoon time, and I got to talking to an individual, and they were talking about some new rules that had come down for their workplace that said they're no longer assigning any blame to any individual that does not do their job. And he said, "I was shocked. No longer will blame be assigned." Now, let me ask you something. Would you want to know if your airplane crashes and you lost a loved one, would you want to know what happened in all of that? And if somebody was to blame so that it wasn't repeated again? Would you want to know that? Or maybe, how about a doctor that in a malpractice situation that cut off your right leg instead of your left leg? Would you want to know so you could make sure that doesn't ever happen again? Now, in practical life purposes, that rule that came down doesn't make any sense, does it? We're not going to investigate and find out who it is. We don't want to assign blame. We don't want anybody to feel uncomfortable. You know, they didn't do their job. Well, the Lord here has a little bit different perspective. He says in verse 6, the writer here, "Then shall I not be ashamed." Be ashamed before whom? God. Be ashamed before God. I want to make sure that my ways are directed by His Word. That's what the previous verse says. I want to be sure so I am not ashamed, so that blame will not be put on me. I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. I think it's so important for us as believers that we be careful not to adopt the cultural expectations of the day. You'll find that they go contrary many times to the blessed Word of God. There is a measure of shame for the Christian if we don't do what God says to do. Amen? There ought to be a measure of shame. There ought to be a recognition, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I'm going to get it right with God so that I don't do that again. That just seems to be something that should be expected. It should be desired. As a father, do I want to be the best father I can be? That should be my aspiration. I should desire to do that. And if I don't do that, I should be confronted and should be made aware that I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, so we can correct the problem and what? Help the children, help the family, help the home situation so it's better. So there is that measure, and the psalmist recognized it. I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. So I'm going to make sure that my life conforms to the Word of God so that I'm not ashamed, and that glory redounds to God, and that I honor Him with my life. That's not too much to expect. That's what God expects. And so we need to conform to His standard rather than fitting into the world standard as it arises each and every day and changes every week, just whatever the whim is at the moment. We need to say it with something that's rock solid, and that's the precious Word of God.
Take our hymn books this morning and begin with number 189. Number 189, Faith of Our Fathers, number 189. Let's stand together to sing.
Thank you. to lead us.
Father, how wonderful it is to gather together with believers in the house of God. And we are so thankful, Father, that we can open thy word and gain the truth of thy word, that we might walk in the paths that you direct us to walk. We are so thankful, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost, and was willing to lay down his life and shed his precious blood that we might have life, that we might not have to suffer the death that sin brings. And we're thankful, Father, for our salvation. We pray, Lord, for others in this congregation that have never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, received him as their Savior. Father, we all need a Savior because we're lost without Christ, and we all need him. So do bless the message to come, that it might contain the good news of Christ and an invitation to come to Christ and be whole again. Father, we are thankful for this work that you've raised up here. We thank you for our church, this body of Christ that desires to do the work of Christ. And we thank you so much, Father, for our school. We thank you for the students that you've given to us. And Lord, we do pray that you would fill our school with the right teachers and the right students this coming year. We thank you so much, Father, for the opportunity to work in the lives of young people. And we pray, Father, that we might do a good job for thee, knowing that these are eternal works, works that have eternal meaning and eternal importance. So we pray, Father, that you would add to this school the teachers that we need, the workers that we need, and then, Father, fill the classrooms that we might see all of the seats filled. We pray, Father, for the T-Ball World Series, especially at this time. We're thankful, Father, for the games that have been played, and we pray that you would give us good days to come, the Monday and the Tuesday, to finish up, and do bless the weather that we might have a good time out there on the field without any interference from the weather. Do bless those that participate in the World Series, all of the workers, all of the people on the field, and then the players, that this might be a wonderful, memorable time in their lives. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless the projector as this goes out soon. Help it to be read by many readers and help it to be a help to those that read. Bless the Children's Bible Club also, Father. Bless the Learning Center. Bless all of the ministries of this work, the time that folks go to the nursing homes and give time to the folks there and blessings to the folks there. Bless our pastors. Give them strength. Give them courage to stand in this evil day, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We turn now to number 682. 682. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4, number 682, God of Our Fathers.
Shining world in splendor through.
of our wonderful Lord. Let's turn now to number 231. 231. Before the message, Eternal Father, Strong to Save, number 231. We'll sing the first and last verses. First and last verses, number 231.
God's people said, amen. Just this past week, as I was preparing for this message, I found a couple of old comic strips about Father's Day. One of them was a family circus. The ad that I'd cut out years ago, it said there was a little boy of the family is running and crying to mommy. You see this pictured in the family circus. Little boys of the family is running and crying, Mommy, Mommy! If you look closely at the cartoon, you would see his knee was scraped. He runs crying to mommy for a few frames until he finds his father. Immediately, he looks up at his dad, "Hi, Daddy." And then immediately runs to mama crying again, "Mommy, Mommy." Now, it's a picture of the traditional difference between a dad and a mom when dealing with their child. I've witnessed this a couple of times out here at the ballpark. There was a boy that was crying on field 4, T-baller, and the dad was over at the fence. Mom was trying to console him, and dad said, "If you don't straighten up, I'm going to give you something to cry about." The mother was over there, "Don't listen to your daddy. You'll be all right. They're going to put you in tonight." And I was just like, really? We got the two things going on. And then I read this of something that I cut out some years ago. Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend as much on the gift. So that's what most people think about when it comes to Father's Day. I want to talk to you today from God's Word about the missing man. The missing man. In 1936, King George V was the first dignitary ever to have an aviation flyover at a funeral. He had passed away, and so for the very first time in history, they arranged for the military to fly over the area where the funeral was being conducted with all the military aircraft at that time. In 1938, it was the first time it happened in the United States, and it happened for General Oscar Westover at Arlington. And when they did it, the United States Army Air Corps at the time separated the two groups as they came over Arlington. They were all flying in unison, and they separated and began to peel off and left the space empty in the middle. But in 1954, they changed that. And they came up with a very special flyover to indicate the missing man, as it was called. And it was performed for the very first time for General Hoyt Vandenberg, who was buried at Arlington. And as they flew over, first time jets were used for this particular event. They flew over, but instead of having the peel-off with the open space, they did the peel-off with one of the jets going straight up toward heaven. And that has become the standard in the United States of America for the flyover for the missing man. The Blue Angels have been performing it at every event since 1956. The missing man formation to show respect to those that have gone to glory, have passed away for the honor of their country. I want to take a little bit different look. I want to apply it in a little bit different context today. And the context is of the home. Some men are missing even when they're there. I want to say that again. Some men are missing even when they're there. You think about the flyover that was done for Oscar Westover, where they had the jets or the planes peel off and they left this open space to bring attention that there's a space now created by this general having passed off the scene, no longer able to command his men. I think sometimes we have that very same scenario in our homes here in the United States of America. I want to read you some astounding statistics that were published this past week and was done so by George Barna in regard to Father's Day, and I wanted to share this with you. If both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will also go to church when they grow up. Now listen to that again. If both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will also go to church when they grow up. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55%. However, now listen carefully. If only the mother goes to church with the children, only 15% of the children will go to church when they are grown. That is astounding. 72% will continue on if both mom and dad go to church. 55% will go on if dad alone takes the children to church. But if a dad steps out of the picture or some other things may happen in that regard, only 16% of the children continue on in church. I've got some other astounding statistics that I found this week on a website called The Fatherless Generation, and they update this on a weekly basis on statistics that are collected from all around the world. This is interesting. 63% of all youth suicides come from fatherless homes. That was by the United States Department of Health and the recent census that was done. That's five times the national average. They come from what kind of homes? Say it, please. Fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 90%. That's 32 times the national average. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from what kind of homes? You heard that right. 85% of all children who show behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes, 20 times the average. This was quoted from the Center for Disease Control, a recent statistic that was put out. 80% of rapists with anger management issues come from what kind of home? Fatherless homes. 14 times the average. That comes from Justice and Behavior, Volume 14. It was on pages 403 through 426. They had 24 pages of statistics related to fatherless homes in that segment, in that particular volume. 71% of all high school dropouts come from what kind of home? Fatherless homes. 71%. That was reported in the National Principals Association report. Nine times the average. The father factor in education. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers in America. Let me repeat that. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. I could go on. I've got page after page of statistics. Recent statistics that speak to a serious, serious problem in the United States of America and its fatherless homes. The missing man. The missing man. I want you to look with me, please, this morning at Proverbs chapter 13. I want to take you to a verse of Scripture that is often hated, often maligned, often by the culture said that this is something that is abuse. But you have to understand what God is sharing here in verse 24. I want you to know the pronouns that you see over and over again. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. All of those pronouns are what? What gender? Male. All right, he's talking about a father with a son here, pictured here. That's the arrangement of this whole chapter. If you study Proverbs chapter 13, you will see that it begins with a wise son. All right? A wise son heareth his father's instruction. Now, this is a man who's writing this. And he's talking to parents about, especially in the situation of raising a boy. The principles are still true with girls. But specifically, this chapter is talking about the development of a wise son. And I want you to notice, please, Who's involved in the development of a wise son? It's a dad who's active. Now, let me just say this. This does not mean that children are hopeless if they're raised only by the mother. It doesn't mean that. But it does say this, that God has placed a premium on men acting as fathers with their children. You don't abdicate your role to somebody else. You don't abdicate it to the church. You don't abdicate it to the school. You don't abdicate it to your wife or your parents. The husband, the father, is the central figure in Proverbs chapter 13. Oh, it plays out here very clearly. Now, the statistics that I have shared with you today, I think, is a serious wake-up call. It's not about just being present in the home. It's about being active in the home. And there's a huge difference between the two. You know, you would think this is pretty much common sense. But I want you to know there are many people that spend a lot of time with their kids, but it's not quality time. By that I mean it's not discipline and instruction. It's play. All right? Play. Play time. All the time. And when daddy has to come down hard, usually it's only when he gets angry. He's being bothered by the situation. So he acts out of anger rather than acting out of my position as father. That's where child abuse comes in. Are you listening to me? It's when parents get angry and upset and lash out at their children, and that's not biblical discipline. Nowhere in the Bible is that considered biblical discipline. You get angry and upset, and that's whenever you discipline. No. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. God uses discipline with His children, and He expects fathers to use discipline with their children. They are to exercise authority in the home. That's not a bad word. That's a good word. I'm thankful for authority. Can you imagine if we had no authority controlling the airwaves for airplanes up there? Nobody in charge. Everybody can do what you want to do today. You can fly at whatever altitude you want to. Can you imagine what would happen within a few minutes? Calls would start coming in. Collisions in the air. Why? Because they have a very disciplined format for where planes fly, what level they fly at, and when they approach an airport, they go into a system. And they all follow it so we don't have accidents. Now, sometimes accidents happen. And it's usually human error that does it. But aren't you glad that there's an authority that's taken care of that? Aren't you glad for police officers that are serving our community? I'm very thankful for them. Every chance I get, if I see one. We have a couple of them out here that coach, that help out or whatever. When I see them, I shake their hand. Say, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate you. And there's one man at least that wants you to know that. And I have your back too. I'm sick and tired of the attacks against authority. Yes. There are times whenever they abuse their authority, but there's things in play to take care of that. Amen? You take care of it according to the laws that have been established and the policies. But if you rear your children by demeaning authorities that are around them, those idiots, those knuckleheads, all the time your children are watching. That's dad's opinion of the police. And you know what's going to happen when they grow up? They're not going to respect the police. And guess what's happening in America today? Guess what's happened in America? We have so demeaned authority that we said we're better off without it. That's the attitude today. We're better off without authority. And that's what's gotten us into the problems to start with. It's because we haven't been exercising authority. We've been demeaning it. That's why we have the problems in homes today. That's why we have these horrible statistics here of 63% of youth suicides from fatherless homes. Boys and girls are growing up in homes where there's no strong discipline, there's no love, because you see, discipline and love go together. You cannot love without disciplining. It's impossible. It's a lie. You cannot love and not have discipline. We have peace and quiet in this auditorium right now, except for the air conditioners running. You think about that. It's because each one here has disciplined themselves to sit for 45 minutes in their pew and listen. And by the way, I respect that too. I want to make sure I give you something that you can take home from God's Word. So I respect the fact that you're listening and that you're paying attention. But you know what that requires? That requires discipline. The only way a person can learn is to be disciplined. To put yourself in a place of learning. And we look at these statistics and they're horrible. 80% of rapists with anger management problems come from fatherless homes. And we want to blame everything in the world except for what we're seeing here. And I'm going to tell you, these statistics indicate that yes, indeed, we're living in a fatherless generation. And I've said this many, many times, the media, Hollywood, they try to tear down the institution of fatherhood. And they do it through their sitcoms. They do it through their sitcoms. And we sit there and soak them in, watching TV. It's so funny. It's not funny. You're destroying yourself, you're destroying your family by taking in what the culture laughs at, and that's the authoritative figure of a father in a home. They completely ignore the statistics. They ignore what the Bible says. Look at verse 1 of chapter 13. A wise son heareth his father's what? Instruction. What does that tell us? Who's in charge in that verse? A wise son listens to his father's instruction. A wise son. How does a son become wise? How does a son become wise? Listening and obeying. Listening and obeying. And when we don't listen and we don't obey, verse 24 comes into the factor, right? That's where we get the chastening that comes in. And what's the whole purpose behind that chastening? It's not to harm, it's to help. So we move them in from the foolish category into the what category? The wise category. But it takes a dad. It takes a father. I'm talking to young people here today. We've got teenagers. We've got young boys that are growing up and young girls that are growing up. Oh, how quickly they grow up. Only have them for a few years. And then they're grown. What did we give them during those few years? Did we give them things that make them wise? Or did we give them things that made them worldly wise? Remember that character from The Pilgrim's Progress, worldly wise? Yeah, he grew up in a home where he learned about all the world and what the world has to offer, but never moved to the place of wisdom. Young boys that are here today, wisdom is learned in obedience to a father's instruction. It's not what Pastor Todd said, it's what the Bible says. That's where it comes from. A wise son listens to his father. So when you have situations where you don't have wisdom and you do your own thing, then verse 24 said, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. In other words, there's a institution in place, if used properly. I'm going to say that again. Because there are instances where people use it improperly and they say, well, I don't know what went on. I did what the Bible said. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You got to do what the Bible says. And you got to follow instruction. Discipline and chastening is not to be harmful to the child, it's to be helpful to the child. And all you're doing in that, now think about this. You're doing multiple things. First of all, you're establishing who's in charge. Amen? Is that a bad thing? To establish who's in charge? I'm thankful for a president that shoots straight and doesn't pull any punches. Media's going nuts, going crazy about it. They don't know how to handle it. But he's been keeping his word. Isn't that refreshing? I mean, look at the economy right now. They've removed all those regulations and things are going gangbusters right now. But I'm going to tell you something. Somebody's got to be in charge. They were talking about the previous administration that flying with the president was party time. They were having parties on board. They were drinking. They were handing out Xanax and Ambien and all kinds of pills and stuff for everybody so they could party late at night and wouldn't be sleepy. Is that somebody in charge? No, it's not. Somebody has to draw a line and say, no, 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 we're not going to do that. We've got a country to rule. Isn't that what we elected them to do, was to rule? Oh, party, 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 party. And that culture has been welcomed into the church. Now listen to me now. It's been welcomed into the church, this party atmosphere, and it's ruined us. It's ruined our families. It's ruined we don't have it. And whenever somebody comes down, oh, they're being mean. They're being mean. No, they're just ruling. They're just ruling. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13 for just a moment. We got to get back to the Word of God instead of all this nonsense that we have today. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Remember them that have the rule over you. Goes on later, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Who wants to rule in grief? Having to jump on people all the time because they're not doing what's right. It's much better to rule with joy. Is it not? I don't hear a lot of amens out there. Everybody falling asleep already? You got to stay with me now. We're almost done. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. That's the whole heart of discipline. Right there in those two little phrases is the heart of discipline. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself. That's not bad. That's good. That brings joy and peace. Authority has to step in. Because you've got someone that's uncooperative, someone that's not submitting to authority. That means that authority has to come in and teach what it means to live a peaceable life, to save the child's life. When you speak to a child that's near the road and you say, come back, don't go that way, there's a car coming. Do you want the child to come? Of course, we all say, yes, we want the child to come. But what if the child doesn't come? What's the consequence of the child not coming? Potential of death or maimed for life. I just got through reading the story of Charles Krauthammer. Charles Krauthammer only has a few days to live. don't know if you saw it in the newspaper. He's a commentator for Fox News and for many, many years, Washington Post editor, opinion editor, and brilliant man, PhD in psychiatry, has multiple master's degrees. I mean, the guy was brilliant. But you know what he did? He skipped class one day with a friend. Skipped class. Now, this is a brilliant guy. He could skip class and get away with it. I was one of the kids, you can't skip class. And even when I was there, it was a little iffy. All right? But Charles Krauthammer skipped class to go swimming, and he dove into the pool and broke his neck. He was at the bottom of the pool, and Charles Krauthammer said, I could see up through the ripples, and I couldn't move a muscle. And he said, all I could think, I'm going to drown. If my friend doesn't see me, I'm going to drown. And he said, I was getting to the point of blacking out. And the guy came down, dove down in there, brought him back up. He was in a wheelchair for most of his adult life. Age 22, I think he was, when he dove into that pool. And he said over and over again throughout his career, if I'd only gone to class. I skipped class. I wasn't where I ought to be. He learned something from that. He couldn't go back and correct his neck problem. He couldn't go back and make his limbs work right. But he did learn something from that. Always be what you're supposed to be. Always be where you're supposed to be. I'm never going to get drunk if I never go to a bar. I'm never going to be in a situation where the police come in at 3 a.m. in the morning because there's fights going on in a big club area if I'm not there. You see, folks, an authoritative figure in the home is God's way of structuring a home life so that children get that and grow up, and then they can take what they learned and they can do the same thing in their home and create a structured environment and teach the children according to God's Word. But it takes a dad that gets with it. Not acting out of anger, not acting out of wrath. Oh, you messed up my day. You're making me have to stop to handle this situation. No. If you didn't want that, why did you have children? A simple question. If you don't want to be bothered, why did you have kids? If you have kids, you're going to be bothered. That's just part of it. They wake up in the middle of the night crying. Okay? You got to go tend to them. Sometimes they're sick. I've had to take my children to the emergency room early in the morning after working all day long and been out at Yak out here, and then have to go sit down there at the hospital with one of them that was having breathing problems. And then get up the next day and go back at it again. Okay? That's just life. But the culture today says we can ignore all of this and continue on. And you know what? You can't. You can't. You either do it God's way or you do it your way. You do it God's way, you get blessing. You have a wise son. You have a wise son, as verse 1 says. Or you can do it your way, and the book of Proverbs is all full of the scorners and the fools. Oh, they're listed over and over again. Those were the ones who were not wise. The ones who would not follow instruction or never got instruction from their dads. The Bible is so full of truth. These statistics that I shared are overwhelming. George Barna, if both father and mother go to church, 72% of the children will also go to church. Now, there's a group of them that don't go, even if mom and dad go. Okay? Mom and dad can't save their children, only Jesus can. But mom and dad can put them on the right road. Amen? You can put them on the right road. You can give them the truth. You can give them light. If only the father goes to church, the percentage drops to 55. If only the mother goes to church, 15% of the children will continue on in church. Now, these are statistics that alarm the soul, do they not? Why? That's the question. Why? because we're not following the Word of God, we have a missing man. I wonder if the blue angels would have to fly over our house and do the missing man formation. Even though you're there, you're not doing what God wants you to do. God help us in that regard. Help us as men. And by the way, grandfathers too. Don't think just because, well, the children are out of the house, I'm done. I'm going to spoil my grandchildren. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? You know? Why would you want to do that? Don't you want your grandchildren to go to heaven? Don't you want them to have the right thing? Don't undo truth just because you finished up one segment of your life. You keep on doing what's right. You keep on teaching. You keep on instructing. You keep on praying. You keep on giving instruction according to the Word of God. That's the picture that's given to us. The missing man, too saturated with the culture to be of any good. The missing man, too busy to be bothered with real biblical discipline and love for his children. The missing man, too quick to play but slow to spend time in the Word of God to the benefit of the family. The missing man, too quick to anger in situations that require a calm and collected dad. The missing man, too weak to rule the home with love and strength. What about it, dads? Granddads? Are we right with God? Are we doing right by our children and our grandchildren? Boy, that's a tough question. And it requires a biblical answer. A biblical answer. Not one you come up with your head with a list of excuses for why, well, I'm just tired, I'm overworked, blah, 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 blah. Welcome to the world. They've always been tired fathers throughout the history of the universe. How would you have liked to live in the Middle Ages, dads, where you got up before dawn and you went out there and you struggled to fight the environment to grow food, and if you had a flood, you had to scrape around, you had to go out and shoot your own food or spear it and bring it home for your family, clean it first, then cook it. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. We got it easy. We've got it easy. You can run down to the restaurant and get whatever you want. We got it easy. Stop with the excuses. And let's be biblical dads. What do you say? Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, in so many homes today, there's a missing man, sometimes literally, just not there. Living life, doing their own thing. But then, Father, there are those that are in the home that are MIA because all they want to do is play. Just want to play with the kids. I don't want to be bothered with the discipline aspect. I don't want to be bothered with all the other stuff like that. I just want to have fun with my kids. That is the statement of a fool who doesn't understand what the Bible has to say. Missing man. I pray, Father, that you'd work in our hearts. Lord, we want to help children. We want to help homes. We want to help moms. We want to help dads from your word. And I pray, dear Father, that you would work in such a way that you would draw dads to you first and to your word, that they might take the time to study the Bible to know how to be the right kind of dad. We're asking in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for the dads to step forward here for just a few moments and face the audience. We want to take just a moment to say thank you to each of our dads for what they have done, for the impact that they've had in our lives, and also to give them a little gift today to take with them. To be a father means to, in this world, be a breadwinner, has to be the leader of his home, has to be a leader in the community, and that's a lot of hard work. And I want to encourage our young people, I want to encourage our moms and our wives that are here, pray for your husband, pray for your father, that the Lord would strengthen and encourage them, that the devil would be defeated in trying to ruin homes, and that men can do what God wants them to do. Let's pray and ask the Lord to undertake for our men. Father, we thank you so much for these men. We thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity we have to recognize them this morning. And we know, Lord, that the culture in this world is stacked against fathers. The culture despises the whole concept of being a dad, being a father, and think that we can substitute other things for that. There is no substitute. The statistics show very clearly, and your word tells us very clearly, that there is no substitute. I pray that you'd undertake for these men, and I pray especially that you'd work in their hearts, that they would study your word faithfully every day and lead their homes according to the principles of the Word of God. That's the only way they'll be successful with their wife, with their family, with their extended family, with their Christian life, is to be in your word. Father, we pray for them, and we ask your Father now as we recognize them and as we shake hands with them, that we might determine to pray for them as well. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate you.